Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Where is the beef?
Hey, how you doing?
Hold on to your butts.
Feels like an Arby's snack.
Son of a... That's gonna leave a mark.
Chili, baby back rib.
Well, what if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one today.
Whoopsie! This is Tom and Jim's Top 5. Naming their top 5 lists on everything pop culture. Celebrating the 90s. Sports, movies, music, and more. They're not authorities. Just grown children. Here's your hosts, Tom Skull and Jim Doubt.
This one was a hell of a way to figure out I was lactose intolerant. I don't know about you. Not a good way to start this research on this show.
You know what, actually, I kind of feel like I'm lactose intolerant now, too.
I have no tolerance for lactose, Jim.
I have no tolerance for many things, but apparently milk is not one of them.
Oh.
I haven't bought milk in, seriously bought a gallon of milk. It's been 7 or 8 years, probably.
Wow.
I just don't drink milk, so I bought it for this. Got a rumbly and a tumbly, got to be honest.
Jim, those are hard-working American cows that you're putting out of business. All right, what's this end? I think we're good.
Okay,
hello, everyone. Welcome to Tom and Jim's Top 5. I am Tom.
I'm Jim.
Hi, Jim. We were recording that whole thing about my lactose intolerancy.
Oh, good.
Yeah. something for the people, you know? So how you been, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I had an interesting day. I have a slight injury. I want to say work related because then I could get paid, but it's not. So today, just a little backstory. All day yesterday, about twice a year, I'll suffer from a really bad migraine headache to the point where I'm nauseous. That happened yesterday. Woke up with it also today, and so it finally went away when I was doing my mail route, and I'm catching a little bit of a cold. I sneeze, and I'm pretty sure I pulled a muscle in my rib cage, and it hurts so bad. So you may say something funny, and I really want to laugh at it, but it's so painful to do that. So we're gonna work through it. What do you think?
So my challenge is to make you laugh as much as I can possibly make you laugh.
Yeah, yeah. And I can't, I can't quit you, so it's gonna be rough for
challenge
me.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. But other than that, things are okay. We did, this week, we had a good weekend. We did our first escape room.
Oh, I want to do one of those. How was it?
It was fun. We got out with just under 12 minutes to spare. We crushed it.
How long do you get total?
You get 1 hour. You get 1 hour.
Oh, you guys did pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. There was, I think, 10 of us or 8 of us. I think 8 of us. I like to say I did a lot. I probably didn't do a whole lot to get out. I was probably just the guy in the corner waiting. But it was good. The scenario we had, it's really cool. They dress up these rooms to be the scenario, the escape room to be, and we were in a sinking ship, and we had to escape one room and get into the other room, which was the pilot house, and then figure out these clues and stuff and to find, to get out and stuff. It was a lot of fun. It was our first time doing it. I definitely want to do it again. The place we went to, they have three different scenarios. They have the sinking ship one, and then they have a prison break one, and then they have one that you wake up in a room and you're hungover, the hangover one. And I
call
really
that my everyday life.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh, I'll crush that one. I'll get out in 2 minutes. Yeah. Sure. Why wouldn't my keys be in a tree 3 blocks down the street? But no, it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. Had a couple adult pops, and I should have went to the bathroom before. 1 hour, while you have to pee the whole time, that gets long.
Well, especially in that sinking ship scenario.
Right, there's water all around you. Yeah, it was, I set myself up for failure. I definitely did. But we got out, and there I got to the bathroom, and everything was fine. I was ready to pee in the corner, though. And, yeah, that'll put a damper on the whole evening.
Would have been doing that in the hangover room, too, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's how I'd start the whole scenario. Just pissing in the corner. Oh, man. So what about you? How was your weekend?
Pretty uneventful. Didn't really do much.
Yeah.
Cooked a lot of food. Watched some movies.
Nice.
That's about it.
Nice, nice. What kind of movies did you watch?
We rented. What did we watch?
Did you go to Blockbuster and rent a movie?
Yeah, I wish. and we watched one with Ryan Phillippe.
Ooh, one of the Ryans.
One of the Ryans, where they adopt a kid in a foreign country, and it's a scam, and they steal the kid back from them. It's actually pretty good. It was on Netflix.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I'll check it out. I'll check it out. What kind of food did you guys cook?
So yesterday I made breakfast skillets.
Ooh.
With in like those fajita pans with like hash browns and sausage and onions and peppers and stuff.
Ooh, Jimmy Dean would be proud.
And for lunch I made, I gotta earn my keep around here.
Right, yeah.
I made homemade French onion soup.
Wow.
And then for dinner I made salmon and rice.
Wow, so you ended on a healthy note.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Well, good, good, good. Well, Jim, we got a little bit of feedback from our last show. I don't want to bring up the fact that you and I have been fighting for a week.
I kind of want to bring it up.
No, I kind of don't. you know what? I just want to agree to disagree. Okay.
Mm-mm.
No. Okay. Well, bring it up. Fine. Go.
No, I don't.
No.
We're fine.
No, be that.
No, our relationship's fine.
No, be that girlfriend who brings up stuff 3 years ago. No, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm listening.
No,
I'm just gonna sit there and go. Mm-hmm,
that's all I have to say. I respect you.
I don't think you do.
No.
I did get one of my buddies from work, who is also I'm a fan of the Star Trek shows. And he is, too. And he was very disappointed I didn't put Sir Patrick Stewart on my list. And I have to agree with him. I dropped the ball on that one. That guy, I think I sent you a picture earlier this week. That guy has not aged. I don't know what kind of sorcery he's involved in.
He bathed in the blood of the innocent.
Yes. Yes, I think that's what that thing said. And, I don't know. But, yeah, he's, that'd be one. It'd be fun to hang out with. Also a funny follow on Twitter. So.
Yeah, that would be true if the name of our top five was people you want to hang out with.
Right, but that wasn't it.
No.
It's not. Oh, God, you're just pissing me off now. Anyway, you know what? Forget it. All right. Let's move on. Oh, what are we talking about this week, Jim?
Whatever you want. I don't care.
Oh,
cereal?
God. Yeah, we're going to talk about cereals. So we got a couple people mentioning some. I asked people on our Instagram, or not Instagram, our Facebook and our Twitter, like what cereals from your childhood you liked and everything, and we got some response. People are excited to hear what we talk about. None of the ones that they mentioned are on my list, so that's good. Nice, disappointing the listeners right off the bat. So that's good. If you want to contact us, tell us how horrible we are at our picks and stuff, always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can send us electronic mail, which is an email.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've also been getting text messages.
Yes.
About how we are dumb and our picks are not good.
Yeah. Well, the last
so that's
one.
Another.
Yeah.
Another form.
Yeah, the last one was going to bring up a much debate, and I think we were looking at it in two different angles, I think.
Yes, we should have clarified what our criteria was.
We should have, but I don't like to talk to you more than this once a week thing, so I wasn't going to call you or anything during the week, which is untrue. I call you every day.
You do call me every day.
Uh-huh.
I was going by the standard definition of a crush.
Uh-huh.
I don't believe you were.
The Webster's definition?
Yeah, the one from the actual dictionary.
Yeah.
is what I was going by. I think you were going by a 7-year-old's definition of a crush, which is totally fine. We just needed to define that.
Because I probably haven't had a crush on anybody since I was 7. Well, no, that's not true. But I was based on 2 criteria. It had to be a combination of looks and someone that I can, like, literally stand being in the room with. Like, you mentioned Megan Fox. That has to be probably the worst person to ever hang out with, I would think. I'm not saying, I don't know anything about Tiffany Amber Thiessen or Melissa Joan Hart or Scarlett Johansson. They might be horrible people to hang out with, too. But I was going based on what I think. So that was I was combining those two, and that's how I would formulate my list. With the guys, strictly sexual with the guys. I mean, strictly.
In my defense, I have dated a lot of girls that I can't stand to be in the same room with.
Oh, I know. I didn't want to be your friend for a while because of some of the people you dated.
That's fair.
That's very fair.
Really fair.
It is. I would venture. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say you didn't come to my wedding because of the person you were with at the time. Is that true?
No, I didn't go to your wedding because I made like $22,000 a year and I couldn't afford a plane ticket.
I'm going to go with what I said. I feel like that's a better story.
Because it makes for a better story, right?
Right. Oh, my gosh. All right, well, let's get into it. I got a lot of friends at work and some friends that really were excited about this topic, our top 5 cereals. So I'm excited about this one. I found a lot of cool information on these. And, yes, I will be putting commercials in after all these, so that's good, exciting. Good. I was listening to some podcasts the other day, and they clearly are violating the same copyright laws as I am, so I'm just going to keep going with it. And they have a lot more followers than me. So, so yeah, well, let's get right into it, Jim. Our top 5 breakfast cereals. Wait, so we don't get in another fight. Are these overall, are these only when you're a kid? Are these, you can still eat these? What are you going with on these?
Yeah, you can still eat them. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I went with.
These are all ones that I've purchased in the store.
Okay, that's what I went with too. So, okay, good. I just didn't want to get yelled at again.
Oh, you'll get yelled at.
I know. I do have one on here. It's not on my top 5. We'll talk about it later as our honorable mentions and stuff. That was, I loved it as a kid, and I was like, that sucks now. So I didn't even put that on there. So I'm glad it has to be something we can still enjoy.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's get right into it, Jim. Number 5. Let's start with your number 5 cereal for Little Jimmy Doubt.
My number 5 cereal is, I was afraid because it's a very plain, very basic cereal.
Mm-hmm.
But I bought a box of it recently, and I was like, you know what, I don't care. It's amazing. It is Honey Nut Cheerios.
Wow, I love Honey Nut Cheerios. Left them off my list, but I'm glad you brought them up. I like Honey Nut Cheerios. Go ahead.
Another one of my criteria for choosing these it's very important to me how the milk tastes when you're done with your cereal.
Ooh, yes.
That is very crucial in the eating of the cereal. And for Honey Nut Cheerios, the milk is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little bit apprehensive because it's just a very basic cereal until I found out that Honey Nut Cheerios is the best-selling cereal in the country. And it bumped off its predecessor of just Cheerios, and that is number 2.
Well, that's impressive because I mean, you mentioned it, very plain, but nothing's more plain than Cheerios.
Yeah, well, Cheerios, you have to add sugar and bananas and fruit to it.
And vodka, all that stuff, you know.
Right. I also relate that to beer. If I have to cut up fruit and add stuff to it, it's not a good beer.
I agree. I totally agree with that one. Yeah. What do you got on Honey Nut Cheerios?
It was introduced in 1979 by General Mills,
mm-hmm.
the second variation of the original Cheerios. It has honey and almond flavor. It used to be made with actual almonds
mm-hmm.
until '06 when the nuts were discontinued.
That's 2000 for flavor. That's 2006 for
right.
People, yeah.
For yes. Thanks for clarifying.
Sorry about that. I interrupted.
It was in 1906. The nuts were discontinued, and natural flavor is used instead, which we've discussed. That just means cancer. We have no idea what natural flavor is.
Yeah, there's no such thing as natural flavor. It does not grow in the ground or anything or on a tree.
If they're not actually using almonds, then there is no actual flavor that could be used.
It might as well say, when it says natural flavor, it might as well just say, we made this in a lab, and we have no idea what it's going to do to you.
You're right.
Okay.
The mascot is, of course, a bee. The bee did not have a name until 2000, when a fifth grader out of Coolidge, Texas, won a national contest to name the bee, naming him Buzzbee. The name was later shortened to Buzz, which was the second-place contestant. So really, the second-place contestant won, if you think about it.
Right. Okay. Wait, that bee didn't have a name till 2000?
No.
That's so weird. You think it's always been Buzz?
Yeah, right. You would think that somebody, some ad wizard at General Mills would be able to put two and two together and just call the bee Buzz.
Yeah. Like,
they relied on a fifth grader out of Texas.
Is there any mascot out there that's a hornet or a bee that's not named Buzz?
I don't think so.
I went to a college and our mascot was a hornet, a yellow jacket. And its name was Buzz.
Of course.
Right, because why wouldn't it be?
It should be. It just makes sense.
Okay, all right.
The tagline since 2013 has been, "Must be the honey," from Nelly's Ride With Me.
Right.
Right?
Right. No, that's where I got it from. I don't know what you're talking about.
The original name for Cheerios was Cheeriotes. It was changed in 1945.
Oof.
There are currently, and I had no idea, 13 flavors of Cheerios sold in America. Honey Nut Cheerios Medley Crunch is the newest, launched earlier this year. And every week General Mills produces and ships almost 500,000 actual cases across the U.S. That's 12 to 14 box per case, varying by flavor.
That's insane.
The National... Yep, that's all I got. That's what I got on Honey Nut Cheerios.
We bought a bunch of cereals. I bought some variety packs, because I'm like, I got to try some of these. And there's one that I have yet to try. It's like Frosted Cheerios. It's like,
oh, I think I've had those.
And
when
I haven't
was a kid,
had
actually.
It. Yeah, and because I like to stick to my, as you'll see from my list, I like to stick to my normals ones. I don't want this new stuff. But I've been told it's really good, so. And, even when our son was a baby, how they'll give babies, once they get their little chompers, they can start having Cheerios and stuff. And we even gave them the Honey Nut versus the original Cheerios, because Honey Nut's way better.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
Yeah. Well, good. Jim, way to start it off with a strong, I'll say a double. Should we go with baseball terms?
Yeah. Ground rule double.
Good for you. Good for you. Still a double in the books. Good. All right.
This honey is perfect for Honey Nut Cheerios cereal.
Ahoy! We wasps are out to steal your yummy honey treasure.
What do we do, boss?
We go to Plan B. That's not your honey, Yellow Jack.
Now you can help Buzz find that hidden golden honey treasure with the Magic Compass Decoder. And cool games on the back of the box. See Mark boxes of Honey Nut Cheerios, part of this good breakfast.
Okay, well, Jim, my number five, this was tough. It was between two, and I had to cut one out. And it's only because, and I actually cut it out this morning when I had a bowl of these this morning. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember these, like good times. So my number five is from Kellogg's, and it's Fruit Loops.
Nice.
Yes, I love Fruit Loops. They're little cereal pieces. Obviously, they're ring-shaped, hence the loops. And they come in a variety of bright colors with fruit flavors, hence the fruit. Very clever marketing name there, huh? Fruit Loops. You get it?
I got it.
Okay, good. Contrary to popular belief, they only have one flavor. There's no, they're not like one tastes like orange, one tastes like strawberry. No. It's all one flavor.
Just fruit.
It's just fruit. It's just like a fruit medley. They came out in 1963. Like I said, Kellogg's introduced them. The original ones were red, orange, and yellow only. Green, purple, and blue were added during the 90s. And that's what they currently are still. In the United Kingdom, Fruit Loops, which I think they stopped making or stopped having them there, they're made a slightly larger shape, and they are only purple, green, and orange due to the lack of natural colorings of yellow, red, and blue in the United Kingdom. Who knew they had a shortage of colors over there? It's kind of weird, don't you think?
Kind of strange.
Yeah. Kellogg's did say, have to come out and say, you know, there is no different flavors. It's all one. Like, someone had to, like, clarify it. Which is kind of funny. But obviously the most famous thing of Fruit Loops is the mascot, Toucan Sam. And yeah. Toucan Sam is a blue anthropomorphic toucan. See, I screwed up the easy word. I didn't screw up the big word. That's fun. Drop some knowledge on there. The colors of his bill correspond with the three original colors that I just talked about. And he's portrayed as having a great sense of smell because if he, quote, follows my nose, it always knows where to find the Fruit Loops. And the awesome commercials when I was a kid. I loved the cereal box, having the big toucan, and always fun games on the back, of course. This one is funny about, where was it? Oh, no, wait. I'm losing my spot? Okay, hold on. In 2015, there was a spin-off Fruit Loops called Fruit Loops Bloopers, and it was promoting the Angry Birds movie. I'm not a big Angry Birds fan, so I don't know much about that. Oh, here it is. Very like famous on. It's been on lots of TV shows. Most famously from the 70s, 80s, All in the Family. It was the favorite cereal of Archie Bunker. He loved Fruit Loops.
Okay.
But more recently, for those of you who are still alive, The Big Bang Theory. the character Howard Wolowitz, played by Simon Helberg, is called Fruit Loops by his fellow International Space Station astronauts because after they overhear his mother on the phone warning that he should get off the phone because his Fruit Loops are getting soggy. So then the whole now, ever since then, they call him Fruit Loops, which is a great nickname. So,
I've never seen an episode of Big Bang Theory.
Oh, well, it's for smart people, Jim. So I understand that.
I've tried. I've watched about probably the first block of one episode, and I was like, it's not for me.
Yeah, I'm not going to call you dumb again, but I'll just say. I'm sorry, that's mean. That's mean.
I'm getting used to it.
Okay, good. But I love Fruit Loops. I had them this morning for the first time in many years, and they're fantastic. Now, there is a gentleman at work. He swears that they make a Fruit Loops or Fruit Loops style cereal with marshmallows, and he says it's the greatest thing in the world. And I'm just like, that's too much. That's too much. You can't combine marshmallows with the fruit like that. I said no. He told me, he's like, you got to go and pick some up on the way home. I'm like, no, that's not happening. So I had to put my foot down a little bit.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think he's making it up, frankly. But I'm sure he'll send me a picture of it or something. But yeah, there's a couple things that came out. A Fruit Loops cereal bar and Snack'ems were Fruit Loops flavored and they taste like Fruit Loops. Not as obviously famous as the cereal itself. That's all I got really on Fruit Loops. That's all it is. It's just cereal, Fruit Loops, and Toucan Sam.
Sugar.
Yeah. Lots of sugar.
Lots of sugar. That's a common theme with pretty much everything on my list, actually.
Oh, yeah. Lots of sugar.
Hey, Ralph, check out this dream I had.
Yeah?
I get up, I wash my face, and I notice I got a lot more face. I'm the guy on the Kellogg's Fruit Loops box. I'm Toucan Sam. Bad news is I'm a bird. The good news is I get all the Fruit Loops I want. Yeah. The faucets even pour oranges, lemons, and cherries. What do you think, Ralph?
Awesome dream, dude, but you forgot to make them part of this complete breakfast.
Wow, what a dream.
Well, let's move on to our number four.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will take this one, Jim. Thank you.
Go.
Okay. My number four was first released in 1969, and it is part of a family of cereals. But I love this one over the four or between the three main ones they have, this is my favorite, and it's peanut butter crunch.
Mm.
And I know you will die if you eat peanut butter crunch, so I know you're not going to have much to contribute to this one.
So is that in the Captain Crunch family?
It's in the Captain Crunch family. Captain Crunch current family is Captain Crunch, and then it's Captain Crunch bear with berries, Crunch berries.
Yes.
And then there's peanut butter crunch. Not too much on peanut butter crunch, but they first had their first mascot was an elephant named Smedley. That's when they were the most they had the most successful run is when they actually had a mascot. But then they just said, forget it, we'll just go back to having the captain on there. But I got some fun things about Captain Crunch himself. First of all, for those of you who don't know, peanut butter crunch is just little balls of corn, and it's flavored with peanut butter, and that's all it is. You add milk, and your day is set. So Captain Crunch, though, for those of you who don't know, he's depicted as an 18th century naval captain,
sure.
More of like a revolutionary style, 1800s, basically he looks like your drunk uncle, you know?
My drunk uncle does wear a pirate hat.
Well, there you go. So everyone's got that drunk uncle. I wasn't specifically saying your drunk uncle, but you went ahead and just went with that.
I know what you meant.
I know. Okay. According to a 2003 Wall Street Journal article, the mascot, whose full name is Horatio Magellan Crunch, captains a ship called Guppy. He was born on Crunch Island in the Sea of Milk. The island is a magical place with talking trees, crazy creatures, and a mountain, Mount Crunchmore, made out of Captain Crunch cereal. The article refers to the captain's hat as a Napoleon-style hat, and claims that this has led to speculation that he may be French, which I don't see that. He's definitely got to be some more of a Irish or English guy, I think. That's me.
I don't know. That outfit's pretty French.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't want to upset any French people. Oh, speaking of, hey, we got new listeners from Taiwan. Dude, we had downloads from Taiwan.
It's pretty awesome.
That's pretty weird. That same article also claimed because of the rank insignia on his uniform, he is not a captain, he's a commander. And I'm pretty sure PepsiCo, who has Captain Crunch now, doesn't give a shit about that. But what was funny about that, they said, well, then he must be reported to the U.S. Navy and to the NCIS for impersonating a naval officer. So there's a search out for Captain Crunch right now.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I know. I hope they find him.
Better check the CM book.
Yeah, hope they find him. My favorite, though, about the Captain Crunch brand, my son's favorite is Crunch Berries. I know a lot of people love Crunch Berries. Mine's Captain Crunch.
I agree with your son.
Yeah.
I love berries.
Yeah. But my favorite is May 21st, 2009, a judge for the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of California dismissed the case... Sugawara versus PepsiCo, who makes Captain Crunch. The plaintiff, Janine Sugawara, claimed she had purchased the cereal Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries because she believed Crunch Berries indicated she was eating real fruit. Stay with me. Sugawara alleged that after 4 years of purchasing the product, just want to repeat that, she had only recently discovered, to her dismay, that the berries were in fact simply brightly colored cereal balls. The judge commented, and I quote, "In this case, it is simply impossible for the plaintiff to file an amended complaint stating a claim based upon these facts. The survival of the instant claim would require this court to ignore all concepts of personal responsibility and common sense. This court has no intention of allowing that to happen." End of case.
Good for that judge.
This person, man, she'll probably end up with her own reality show the way this country works, but Yeah, that's my favorite little nugget on Captain Crunch. But I love Peanut Butter Crunch. Like, I know, Jim, you can't eat it. But I said, we've mentioned this before, on your deathbed, we're just going to feed you Captain Crunch and a bunch of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and just let you go.
I can't wait.
It's going to be a great time. I hope I go before you. I don't want to see you go. It'd be too hard. It'd be too hard. Yeah, so that's my number four.
Good job. I almost bought a box of Crunch Berries. I really like those.
Ooh, peanut butter!
Crunch! The peanut butter crunch bird laid another egg, Captain.
A magical egg filled with my peanut butter crunch cereal.
That sweet, tasty peanut butter crunch is going to be ours.
Wow!
The Soggies! They're taking the peanut butter crunch bird.
Huh, not while I'm Top Crunch.
You wasted them.
No, just winged them. Peanut butter crunch is a yummy part of a complete breakfast.
All right, Jim. Well, what's your number four? It's probably not peanut butter related.
It is not. My number four, I'm going to take you down a pretty dark rabbit hole on this one, so you got to bear with me. It's going to be a little while. My number four is Frosted Flakes.
Ooh, I love Frosted Flakes, Jim.
I do love Frosted Flakes. They are fantastic. When we moved here to Cleveland, we lived in a hotel for a few weeks. We didn't have a place to live. And the continental breakfast of the hotel was basically just mini boxes of Frosted Flakes.
Nice.
But it didn't bring up bad times for me. It's a happy moment. I love Frosted Flakes. Okay. So here we go with my Frosted Flakes. Just buckle up. This is going to be, a little bit, but I found it really interesting.
Okay.
And then I told all this knowledge to my wife. She just looked at me like I had a dick on my forehead. And
oh, that hurts. Oh, okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah, no, it's just that, yeah, I'm fine.
And then I said, don't you find this interesting? And she's like, why do you need this useless knowledge? And I said, what happens one day when you're in a bar playing trivia night,
right,
and this comes up and you're going to nail it? And she said, you'll be sitting next to me and you'll already know the information. And I was like, touche.
That implies that she's keeping you around for a while.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. We're legally bound at this point.
Well, good.
Okay, so here we go. So, Kellogg's Frosted Flakes. The only thing outside of this next thing that I have to say is that unlike many cereals like Cheerios and Rice Krispies, Frosted Flakes share its name with its generic competitors, which I thought was interesting. So when you buy just like the bag of cereals on the bottom shelf, they can still call it Frosted Flakes.
Interesting.
Yeah. So the rest of this, bear with me here. So I got, this is out of a book called Serializing America.
Where do you find these books? Sorry.
The county library.
The what?
No, it's the internet. So anyway, Scott Ruth and Bill Crawford wrote this book. And I found this incredibly interesting. So just bear with me for a little bit. I'm going to kind of paraphrase a lot of this stuff. But okay, so Dr. John Kellogg and his brother Will Kellogg, or WK, invented cereal flakes in 1894. So they're the Kellogg brothers.
Okay.
And they're both from Battle Creek, Michigan.
Oh, I'm not allowed there.
You are not allowed in Battle Creek for many reasons.
Right.
One of it is your constant legal battles with Kellogg.
Right.
They were experimenting with wheat, trying to make a digestible substitute for bread. When they accidentally left the batch soaking in water overnight, the next day they discovered it could be formed and baked into little flakes.
Hmm.
Okay, so 1894 they discovered this. After 4 years, they successfully applied the process to corn. However, they only sold the cornflake by mail as a health food, and that's going to become really important that I'll touch on in a couple more. In my number two, I think I'll touch on that. So write that one down. Keep that in your pocket. We'll come back to that.
Noted.
He only sold it to his patients as a health food. Now, Dr. Kellogg wasn't interested in distributing it to the public at all, but one of his patients was, and his name was C.W. Post. So,
the plot thickens.
So he stole a recipe for fake coffee that he called Postum and started his own brand called Post. And then he created Grape Nuts, which are one of the worst cereals in the world.
Oh, God.
And that was in 1898. Can't the Grape Nuts have been around since 1898?
Well, I think they made a bunch in 1898, and that's what we're still feeding us.
still there, right next to the Twinkies and the Apocalypse.
Right, and candy corn.
In 1902, he brought cornflakes to the market. So you've got Kellogg and you've got Post, both in Battle Creek, Michigan, both trying to outproduce each other on cereals and other products. When Will, or WK, finally ducked from his brother and expanded into the cereal market out of the health food market in 1903, he turned out to be as good of a promoter as Post was and started marketing the cornflake market and took the major share of it, making it the number one cereal. And Post had a version of it called Post Toasties, which were number two. Still with me?
Yeah, I'm here. Yep.
Okay, come on. Come on, bring your luggage. We're going for a ride.
Okay.
Both companies.
Oh, good. Can I bring a book?
In Battle Creek, the employees of the companies considered themselves enemies. It was kind of this heated thing. I picture it like the commercials with the Twix.
I was just thinking that.
that's how I picture it to be.
It was right Twix versus left Twix.
A plane on each side of the road.
Got it.
Okay, so finally Post moved to produce cornflakes. In 1951, they launched Cornfetti. So we just jumped about 50 years here.
Okay.
Cornfetti, a sugar-coated flake. So before, no sugar had been added to these. They're just simple cornflakes. It was a crippling blow to Kellogg. They didn't realize that this was going to come out. Kellogg realized that Cornfetti wasn't selling. The flakes hardened into a clear coating and would actually cut your mouth like glass. So
Jesus.
Instead of fixing the Cornfetti formula and reintroducing immediately, General Foods, who had now bought Post, spent a lot of time product testing and getting market research. And in that time, Kellogg jumped on them and created sugar frosted flakes. Okay. So that's kind of the birth of sugar frosted flakes.
Oh. Is there going to be a test on this?
There is. Are you taking notes?
I am now.
I find this stuff interesting. I like to know the history of these products.
It.
I think that's cool. So, hope you're still with me.
I'm with you.
Do you want to play a commercial? Do you want to take an interlude?
No. I think we got to plow through.
Okay, let's keep going.
All right.
So, John Kellogg was really mad at WK because he had added the sugar to it, and that was a huge debate in their relationship. But people bought it, so they kind of had to give up to the consumers because they were actually spending the money on it. Both brothers passed away in the mid-1950s. A lot of the stock was left to the Kellogg Foundation, and they kind of took the same stance. If it's selling, why change it? Let's see. Skipping some stuff. And okay, we're going to skip quite a bit ahead. I found this part interesting. So Post had a commercial for their Sugar Krispies with three bears in it. So Kellogg decided they needed animals in their marketing too.
Right.
So they had four animals. They had Katie the kangaroo, Newt the new, Elmo the elephant, and Tony the tiger.
Ah, there he is.
Okay.
All right.
Each one of them had their own jingle. Tony's four line was, what is it?
They're great.
There you go. That was his part of it. Elmo the Elephant and Newt the New were canceled right away, but Tony and Katie the Kangaroo actually got their own boxes on the shelves, but nobody bought Katie the Kangaroo. They only bought Tony. So in, I think, 1952, they eliminated the kangaroo, stuck with the tiger, branded him, and gave him that tagline of their great.
Wow. Jim.
I skipped quite a bit there, but I don't think any of it's
You know what,
important.
Jim? I'm going to give you one of these.
Thank you.
I mean,
thank
that
you
was,
very much.
We went on, that was a ride.
That thank
was
you.
Right.
Thank
it was
you.
Good, though. Oh, my God. I love Frosted Flakes. That was one when I was talking about Fruit Loops, it was a toss-up between Frosted Flakes and Fruit Loops for me, and I knocked Frosted Flakes down. I would not stick my nose up at a bowl of Frosted Flakes at all. I would eat it like crazy. So
I love Frosted Flakes, and going back to the milk thing, the milk in Frosted Flakes is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're done with the cereal, it is fantastic.
The right amount of sugar and the leftover flake, perfect. No, I'm mad I didn't put Frosted Flakes in my top five. Wow, what else you got about Frosted Flakes?
nothing, and I'm sure everybody wants me to shut up about Frosted Flakes, so I have nothing more to talk about on Frosted Flakes.
Well, I enjoyed every second of you talking. Just want you to know that.
Thank you.
Kellogg's Frosted Flakes are the frosted sweet part of this complete breakfast. Oh, man. Okay, Jim. Well, Jim. Oh, man, that was... good thing we had a commercial break there, huh? Wow. Incredible. Okay, well, let's move on to our number three. Your number three.
Okay. My number three is Fruity Pebbles.
Oh. Okay.
I had a bowl of it this morning.
That's on my list. Fruity Pebbles is on my list.
Okay.
So, you know what? Let's break format a little bit. It's on my list. Well, let's both talk about it so we don't have to go back to... Because I think there's two types of people in this world, Jim. There's people who love Fruity Pebbles and there's people who love Cocoa Pebbles. And you know what? You're both right, just so you know.
They're both fantastic.
Yeah. Okay, well, what do you got on Fruity Pebbles?
Well, you just mentioned Cocoa Pebbles. You know there's another flavor called Ice Cream Pebbles?
In my research, I found that they have, they had Ice Cream Pebbles, which, that threw me through a loop.
I had never seen of these, never heard of these.
No, never.
But the cereal was introduced in 1971 by Post, which we just learned about, featuring characters from, of course, the Flintstones.
Yes.
As spokestunes.
Right.
Let's see. Obviously, Cocoa Pebbles is chocolate, and Fruity Pebbles is somewhat fruit. The cereal started out with three colors, orange, red, and yellow, and natural orange, lemon, and tangerine flavors, but later flavored in natural orange and artificial lemon and cherry. And purple became a flavor in 85, green in 87, Berry Blue in 94, and Incredible Purple in 95, and Bedrock Berry Pink in 2005.
Now you're getting serious.
I'm always serious.
Can I jump in here?
You jump right in. The water's fine. Come
okay, good. All right. I bet it's fantastic. You didn't pee in the pool, did you?
Of course I did.
Perfect. Nice and warm.
What chlorine's for?
So they actually came out with this because they were rebranding... cereal. Post was rebranding their cereal that was called Sugar Rice Crinkles, which is my nickname for you. And they decided that, you know, this isn't selling that well, and then they contacted the people from Hanna-Barbera, said, hey, can we use Fred Flintstone as our, you know, to build around this cereal for kids? And then, well, the rest is history on that. They actually thought, this won't last more than a year. And... like, we're here today still talking about Fruity Pebbles, so. Yeah. Did you see that they originally were going to be called Flint Chips and Rubble Stones? And then they decided, that's not good. So let's go with Cocoa Pebbles and Fruity Pebbles.
It was a good choice.
Yeah, very, very good choice. Good. Well, you can
And we also have to bring up that it tastes, the beer, Lime Cool Sunset Wheat, is the adult version of Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah, Leinenkugel Sunset Wheat is Fruity Pebbles in a beer bottle. And if you haven't tried it, please go out and try it. You should be able to get it now in stores because it's summer beer. So I believe it's out. It's starting to come out now, spring and summer. And it's fantastic.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, you continue with your Fruity Pebbles. I'm just going to jump ahead and say this is my number one cereal.
Is it really?
This is my number one. Yeah.
Good choice.
I absolutely love Fruity Pebbles. I don't know. There's just something. Go back to the. It makes the milk taste great. Everything about it is incredible. I love Fruity Pebbles. So.
I wasn't going to tell the story, but now I'm going to tell the story. I remember I was like in fifth grade, and I went to school, and we were doing a field trip somewhere. And I got on the bus, and right when we pulled out of the parking lot, I got sick and threw up Fruity Pebbles all over the bus.
You know, I'm not even mad you told that story.
That's a true story. And Fruity Pebbles, you know when people are like, oh, I can't drink orange juice because I got sick once. Fruity Pebbles aren't like that. I could still eat Fruity Pebbles that day.
Oh, yeah, definitely. In fact, amazing. I would have been upset that the Fruity Pebbles I ingested earlier that day that have now thrown up on the bus or wherever you were, I'd be mad and like immediately want more Fruity Pebbles to be put back in.
Right.
I'm sorry to bring you on that trip, but I'm sure it's gross, but it's the truth. I'm sorry. My favorite part about Fruity Pebbles, not my favorite part. Favorite part is the taste, but one of my favorite parts is the commercials. And we'll play two because they're both on our list. So I'll play two Fruity Pebbles commercials. Actually, yeah, I'll play two. I got two. I got them locked and loaded, Jim. So, but it started off as Fred and Barney would be like enjoying Fruity Pebbles together, like the commercials in the early 70s. And then it changed to where Barney would always trying to be stealing Fred's Fruity Pebbles. And, you know, he'd be, you know, Fred would always, it would be a 30-second commercial, and at the end he'd just, Barney, my Pebbles, he'd yell. And that was my Fred Flintstone voice, by the way. that was horrible. And then, so every commercial was a different, like, way of Barney trying to steal his Fruity Pebbles. And I loved it. And, the box always had the best stuff on the back of the box. Always the best.
I forgot about stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. A couple of cool facts I had in here. A couple celebrity things. Okay, one, since 2014, Pebbles has prompted viewers, kind of like what you're talking about, the right Twix and left Twix. Are you either Team Coco or Team Fruity? And they would get various celebrities such as Bella Thorne, Shaquille O'Neal, or soccer player Alex Morgan to be like, has been chosen as the mascots for this. And like, are you Team Coco or are you Team Fruit? You know, so that was kind of their new marketing campaign. Still, though, using Barney and Barney Rubble and Fred Flintstone. For those of you, some of you don't know, I'm a big wrestling fan. I have another podcast, Skullbuster Wrestlecast. If you want to check it out, with my brother, but we're big wrestling fans. And it one of these, famous wrestler John Cena is an official endorser of Fruity Pebbles. At least he was. I don't know if he still is. And it's a result of a reference that The Rock, who we talked about The Rock last show, would joke on WWE programming, and he would say that John Cena dresses like a bowl of Fruity Pebbles because of his bright shirts that he wears. So, Post jumped all over it and was like, yeah, we're going to get him as our spokesperson. So that's cool. Another wrestling thing, which this one I found interesting. I always like to find the legal battles in these, as you see this theme. Hulk Hogan, everyone's aware of Hulk Hogan. In May of 2010, a controversial commercial of Cocoa Pebbles led to a lawsuit by Hulk Hogan. At the commercial, Barney and Fred face off against a wrestler named Hulk Boulder. And it aired on TV, and the commercial ended with Hulk Boulder getting smashed to pieces after losing the wrestling match. I don't remember this commercial. Hulk Hogan sued Post, saying that they stole his image to promote Pebbles, and that his image has been damaged by the commercials. he used the, cause he himself used the name Hulk Boulder early on in his career until he changed it to the more recent Hulk Hogan. The suit was settled in June 2010, quickly right after he sued them. So who knows what, he got for it, but it was settled and they're no longer air the commercial. But I just find that kind of funny. Like really, dude, it's a cereal. You know, and Hulk Hogan, you grew up listening to him. All he talked about is make sure your kids eat your vitamins and stuff. And I believe he was a spokesperson for Flintstones Vitamins back in the 80s.
I think he was.
Yeah, so it's like, really? You know, so I mean, maybe needs the money, I guess. But he's had some other legal problems anyway, so who knows. But he likes to sue people. I'll just say that. What else you got about Fruity Pebbles? I got a list here of all the different types that they tried to come out with over the years.
Yeah, I've got, let me see if they messed up here. Well, they make a half-sugar Fruity Pebbles, which is bullshit.
Get the hell out of here with that, yeah.
Dino Pebbles. Marshmallow Mania Pebbles, Bam Bam Pebbles, Bam Bam Berry Pebbles. That's all I got.
Yeah, I got those ones down. They currently, which we talked about, have an ice cream Pebbles. Apparently, they also have a cinnamon Pebbles that's out right now. I'm sure about that. But the Bedrock Blizzard Pebbles, Winter Fruity Pebbles, Cupcake Pebbles.
I'd probably eat that.
That wouldn't be bad. This one, Fruity Pebbles Extreme. The ones I mentioned now, they no longer make, but Fruity Pebbles Extreme was introduced. It's a modified version of Fruity Pebbles with enhanced flavor and color. So basically, it's just you eat these and your teeth fall out. They also have Sugar Cookie Pebbles, Summer Berry Pebbles, and Poppin' Pebbles, and my favorite, Candy Corn Pebbles. Ugh.
Oh,
you know how you eat those, Jim? You take the box.
Don't.
And you throw it in the trash. That's how you eat Candy Corn Pebbles. So yeah. Anything else on Fruity Pebbles? I freaking love these things. Yeah. I had like 4 bowls of it last week. And I sit there and eat it and I drink the milk just like I did as a kid, just slam the bowl up to my face and it doesn't get old. It does not get old for me at all.
You watch me get Fred's Fruity Pebbles.
Who are you?
I'm the master rapper and I'm here to sing. I love Fruity Pebbles in a major way.
He loves Fruity Pebbles in a major way.
The bedrock, yellow, orange, purple, lime, and red. But to get the fruity taste, I gotta trick Fred. Fruit-a-Rooty.
To get the fruity taste, he's gotta trick Fred. Barney.
Yes, that's a wrap.
Post Fruity Pebbles cereal, part of this nutritious breakfast. Yabba-dabba delicious.
All right, Jim. Well, that was, Fruity Pebbles. God, I love those things. All right, my number 3. I would say a lot of people like them, but I know for a fact my wife does not like them, and she was like, are you going to put this on your list? I said, you damn right I'm putting this on my list. It is a General Mills cereal, came out in 1964, and it's Lucky Charms.
Oh, yeah.
I love Lucky Charms. The cereal, for those of you living in a cave, consists of toasted oat pieces in multicolored marshmallow shapes, or as they call them, Marbits. And of course, the mascot is Lucky, which is a leprechaun. And they were created in 1962. They didn't come out until 1964, but they started creating them in 1962. And basically, the people at General Mills said, they challenged the product team, the developers, say to use two different cereals to come up with something better. You got Wheaties or Cheerios, and so they come up with something unique which combines one of those two. They decide on using a mix of Cheerios with Circus Peanuts. You remember Circus Peanuts?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, which are not good. But that's what that's where they got the idea, and they hired an advertising company, said, this is what we got. And so the company suggested, it sounds like it would be cool to take a charm bracelet, like the idea of a charm bracelet, and that's what your marshmallows are. And so thus Lucky Charms were born. Like, it was an ad idea. And it's what we have today. It's the first cereal to introduce marshmallows into the recipe.
Oh.
And I don't know when dried up marshmallows became part of your balanced breakfast, but this definitely is. the mascot, Lucky Leprechaun, also known as Sir Charms, which is what I called you on our first date. He was originally called LC Leprechaun. He's created in 1963, even before the product came out. Was voiced by the same guy up until 1992. That guy, they changed the guy, and that's voiced by the same guy since 1992 now. Lucky the Leprechaun was briefly replaced by Waldo the Wizard in the New England type states, like Boston and Vermont and all them. Not sure why, but I didn't find any other info on that. So I don't know, maybe they got mad because he was Irish or something, who knows. But, here's a good one. Various, various features of the Marlboros were modified because they saw that the product performed dramatically better when they would reintroduce new marshmallows all the time. And if you, for those of you who don't know, I mean, if you remember that, it started with just a couple, and now we got a million different marshmallows in there, including, Jim, what are some of your favorite Lucky Charms?
Mm-hmm. I remember there was a horseshoe.
There was a horseshoe. The
clover?
There was a clover. The first ones were pink hearts, yellow moons, orange stars, and green clovers. That was the four originals.
Okay. Probably the green clover was my favorite.
Green clover, yeah, I was a fan of the green clover as well. Introduced the blue diamonds in 1975, then the purple horseshoes in 1983, and then red balloons, remember those? In 1989, mm-hmm. green trees in 1991, rainbows in 92, pots of gold in 94, and leprechaun hats in 97, and they just kept coming out with different ones, crystal ball, hourglass, different types of rainbows. They actually came out with different types of rainbows in support of LGBT during Pride Month. I mean, so they got a lot of different things in here.
I actually remember when the hearts, the balloons, the red balloons came out.
Yeah, and then they had the red balloons, and then they introduced the stars inside the red balloons. Remember this?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and that's when they started, you know, like the pots of gold, that was the two colors. And then obviously the red balloons with the star and had two different colors. So they started really getting creative with all their marshmallows. The charms itself, they all say to have special power for the lucky. The hearts are the power to bring things to life. Shooting stars are power to fly. Horseshoes, power to speed things up. Clovers for luck. Blue moons, invisibility. Rainbows are for traveling from place to place, balloons to make things float, hourglass to control time. You got that?
No.
Good. It sounds like a Zelda game or something, doesn't it?
It really did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, this is kind of cool.
They refuse to buy more Lucky Charms.
Yeah, right. There have been more than 30 different featured limited edition marshmallow shapes over the years, and we mentioned a bunch of them, and I'm not going to go and list every single one because it's a lot. So... let's see here. The tagline, Jim, do you remember?
No.
They're magically delicious.
Oh my god, I can't believe I forgot that.
Oh god. You okay?
No.
No, you're upset?
I donated blood earlier today. I haven't been right since.
Oh, nice. Hey, good for you for donating blood.
Hey, thanks. I've been like dizzy and out of it all day.
Great. Good for you.
Yeah.
actually, as of a few years ago, Lucky Charms actually started advertising towards adults because of morons like us who still want to eat cereal. And so they actually, 45% of their total people who buy all their stuff, 45% of all their sales are from adults. Which is 18,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, 18 plus. And so
so let me ask you.
Yeah.
You probably bought a new box, right? To test out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I could not have been the only one who ate Lucky Charms or any marshmallow cereal by eating all the oat pieces out first and leaving a bowl of marshmallow milk.
Yeah, I have that down here. This is my last point.
Oh, okay.
I was going to ask you, how do you eat them? Well, this is how you eat them. And anyone who eats them differently, you're wrong. I'll just say that. What you do is you pour them all in, you get the milk in. And then with your spoon, you start separating the marshmallows and the oats. And if you're good, you will be able to get every oat out of there before eating one marshmallow.
Yep.
And then you go to town on those marshmallows. What's that?
You used to make me so mad when one of those marshmallows would cling to the bottom of the spoon, and you didn't know it when you were eating a spoonful of oat pieces, and you get a marshmallow in there, it ruins the entire breakfast.
You almost want to just whip the bowl at the wall and say, Mom, give me another bowl.
Dump it out, go back to bed, get up, and start over.
So start over. Your day is not going to get better. Oh. But yeah, that's how you eat them, and that's all I got. That's all I got on Lucky Charms.
Follow that rainbow!
You
head is a party and it's filled with gold.
Not anymore.
No, it's empty.
Wait, it's a two-colored marshmallow.
Yeah, shaped like a spot of gold.
The perfect shape for me Lucky Charms.
But where are the rest of them?
In me Lucky Charms, of course. A magical part of this good breakfast.
Lucky's got them!
Will they catch Lucky in his new pot of gold marshmallows? You can in your next Mark box of Lucky Charms.
All right, Jim. So Lucky Charms. Okay. So what are we on? We're on number two for you.
Number two.
Or this is my number two. I go again, don't I? Why do we do this? I do this every show. I never remember the order.
I don't care. Yeah, go for it.
All right. Well, we already know my number one, so let's just get my number two out of the way, and then you can do your number two and your number one.
Okay.
All right. So my number two. This was hard. I had to, like, take... There's three similar cereals to this one. And I had to, like, well, which one was the best one? And so my number two is Cocoa Puffs.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because Cocoa Puffs, Cocoa Krispies, and Cocoa Pebbles, essentially the same flavor. And they give you that chocolate milk after you're done.
Fantastic.
But Cocoa Puffs would have to be my favorite. And it's chocolate-flavored little puff cereal balls. Introduced in 1958. It basically is Kix. Remember Kix?
Yeah.
It's basically Kix dipped in chocolate.
It tested, mother approved.
Right. But this one makes you cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. See what I did there?
It does. Yeah, no, I got it.
You got it? All right. Yeah. And so basically, they're made with real Hershey's chocolate. And, they have the I just mentioned Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. That comes from their mascot Sunny, the cuckoo bird, introduced in 1962 in all their commercials. And the name Sunny comes from when the commercials first came out. It was Sunny and Gramps. His grandpa was in there, and you'd call him Sunny. So that's where the name comes from. Basically, it's like taking a kid with ADD, and he's trying to do a task in these commercials, and suddenly Cocoa Puffs are put into play, and he can't handle it, and he's like, I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. So that's basically every commercial of Cocoa Puffs, which I'm cuckoo for them as well. Jim, were you ever cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs?
Yeah, I ate quite a bit of Cocoa Puffs, yeah.
Good.
For some reason, though, I feel, and I could be totally wrong, I feel like we didn't eat a lot of chocolate-based cereal. Maybe because my mom felt like they had more sugar, which is totally incorrect.
Totally.
Wait,
this is coming from... I just wanted to point out to everyone listening. This is coming from the guy who would bunch up a bunch of Oreos in a glass of milk and flip his shit if it fell or went on the ground and he had to do it again. If you remember back to our After School Snacks episode. Just pointing it out.
I don't understand the correlation.
I'm just saying, you like chocolate.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we did. We had Cocoa Pebbles, and I guess we had Cocoa Puffs, too. And Cookie Crisp. See, I guess we did. I guess I just didn't eat as much of the chocolate cereal as I remember, I guess.
Well, your mom didn't love you. It's a common theme. So, anyway, I was cuckoo for these things. And the original mascot, Sunny, going back to him, he wore a pink and white striped shirt. Almost looked like one of those guys who sing the barbershop quartet thing. That's what he looked like. But, and Jim, you'll love this. In the 90s, in 1995, he started wearing, quote-unquote, extreme, spelled with an X, because you know it's cool, clothes to bring more of a Disney-esque appearance to him.
Okay.
So he was wearing
like cartoon JNCOs?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, he was cool now. So, yeah. That's all I got on Cocoa Puffs, man. I'm cuckoo for these things. I mean, it's chocolate, it's cereal, and it's milk. I mean, there's nothing. What can you? That's it. There's no wrong
did
there.
You can still buy them? Did you get a box recently?
Yes, we got a box recently. I bought it in the variety pack because I'm like, okay, I want to try all these ones. So I did, because I was buying. We have so much cereal in our house right now; it's ridiculous. But
yeah, me too.
So I bought in the little pack, and my wife ate the little one. I'm like, no, I needed to try that one. She's like, no, it's my favorite. I don't care. I'm like, okay. So anyway, I recently tried it again though. I did so.
See, all this cereal has actually been like a gateway cereal for it, like a gateway breakfast food that of foods that I stopped eating, like Pop-Tarts and Toaster Strudels.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through the phase of the cereals, and now I'm branching out into all the other crap that I don't need to be eating for breakfast, but I remember eating when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's awesome. My son loves cereal, so now all three of us in the morning sit at the table and eat cereal. It's kind of cool. He looks at the box, you know, and it's fun. I love it. It's just like being a kid again.
Today, I'm headed to the real world to bet real kids that they'll go cuckoo for the chocolatey taste of Cocoa Puffs.
Hey, that only happens in cartoons.
Yeah, we're real.
But it's the chocolatey part of this complete breakfast.
It is chocolatey. Real chocolatey. Really, really chocolatey.
You go cuckoo too.
All right, Jimbo, what's your number two cereal?
Okay, my number three, two, and one are locked in. Like, these are forever my favorite cereals.
Okay.
And number two, I had to buy my number two and my number one and eat them both to decide because they've always been a toss-up for me.
Okay.
And my number two is Golden Grahams.
Oh, yes. A lot of people reached out to me and said, you got to have Golden Grahams on there. And I agree. Awesome cereal.
Golden Grahams, it's always been a toss-up between this one and the one I went with for my number one as to what the best one is. I freaking love Golden Grahams. And I have a little bit on it's produced under Nestle, except in the U.S. and Canada where it's sold under General Mills, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Mm.
And it consists of small, toasted, square-shaped cereal pieces made of whole wheat and corn with a taste mixed of honey and brown sugar. So they're pretty straightforward, pretty basic. But what I thought was interesting, and this goes back to my Frosted Flakes stuff, it's going to tie in a little bit there. I told you to write that little piece of knowledge down,
mm-hmm.
carry it with you. We're coming back to it now.
Nice.
So graham crackers, or, you know, the basis for Golden Grahams. So there was a guy named Reverend Sylvester Graham, okay?
Okay.
This is late 1800s.
Where are we going,
okay.
Jim? We're back to the 1800s
follow me,
again.
Follow me, because this will all tie in somehow
all right.
with this, okay?
All right.
So Reverend Graham advocated a healthy lifestyle through healthy foods, physical fitness, and sexual abstinence. In particular, he advocated abstinence from masturbation. Follow me. Come on with me. Graham believed that a vegetarian diet anchored by homemade whole grain bread made from wheat coarsely ground was part of a lifestyle that involved minimizing pleasure and stimulation of all kinds. He believed that God intended people to live that way and follow natural law, and that would keep you healthy. So his followers, called Grahamites, were some of the first vegetarians because they believed that eating that way of basic foods basically followed God's will of minimizing pleasure. Essentially, being a vegetarian, you get no pleasure, so hang your hat on that. So his followers...
Hang on, everyone. Invented... He's gonna walk himself out of this cave somehow.
Wait for it. His followers invented Graham flour, Graham crackers, and Graham bread because they were basic foods that provided just your basic sustenance. So this reverend did not invent Graham crackers. His followers invented Graham crackers to follow his teachings, his beliefs. Okay? So that's how Graham crackers are formed. Now, this is going to tie in here because his successor was Dr. John Harvey Kellogg.
Ah.
Kellogg believed the same things. And when I told you that he was inventing cornflakes as a health food, this is why he invented cornflakes as a food that would minimize sexual desire. He believed that red meat increased sexual desire, cornflakes would increase sexual desire, decrease your want and need for sex and masturbation. So Kellogg's Corn Flakes, before it was marketed, was meant to help decrease your sexual desire and want for masturbation. There you go.
That's another clap. That's Thank another
you.
Clap.
See, it all came back around. You doubted me. You didn't think I could do it.
You're right. I doubted you. Fantastic, Jim. Wow.
Thank you.
Golden grams.
Whoa. How do they cram all that gram into golden grams? Hey, maybe they take this big graham cracker.
Wrong. How do they get all that crunchy graham cracker taste into every honey sweet square?
Or maybe they...
Part of this complete breakfast. Golden grams, crammed with graham.
But how?
All right, Jim. Wow. Are we... You know, we're coming up over an hour now. Are you going to have another another huge story here?
I don't need you to make fun of me.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to contribute here to this show and bring a little facts and a little knowledge, and I don't need to be belittled.
No, you're not. You're not. I'm sorry. And you know what? You have incredible knowledge of this stuff.
From now on, I'll recite the first paragraph out of Wikipedia, and then we can move on to the next one.
Oh, like what I do. All right.
Let's actually, where do you get your information from?
I do use Wikipedia. I found a lot of information this time, obviously there, but a website I used, great. It was an article. Shoot, I gotta click. I don't want to miss say their thing. Well, this one was an article on odysseyonline.com, had some stuff on cereals, oh gosh, I can't open link there. I don't want to misquote them, but I used another article too that had some cool things about cereals and stuff, and so, yeah. So, what about you?
I feel like we never give credit to any place we get information from.
Not so much, no. this was from a website called Complex.com, and they did an article on 50 greatest breakfast cereals of all time, and they had some pretty good stuff. They also have some other things about 50 best candies around the world, junk foods, all this stuff. So, yeah, that's where I get most of my info.
Okay.
At least for this one. When we used like the other pop culture stuff, I use IMDb a lot. But Wikipedia,
yeah,
I stick with. I try to check, because Wikipedia, you know, sometimes has false facts. I do try to double check to make sure what I'm saying is correct. And I could be wrong. I admit, it might not be correct. But
I use Wikipedia as like a first foundation source.
Yeah.
To get me like basic knowledge. But then if I look up on other sites, it'll expand on what Wikipedia said by a lot.
Right.
Like one sentence in Wikipedia could actually be like four or five paragraphs in another site.
Right, exactly.
And actually explain it a little bit more. So, yeah, Wikipedia is good for like your basic foundation knowledge of like who made it and what year. And after that,
right.
I
do use YouTube a lot. I go and I'll just put the stuff in, and sometimes people have done articles and or done videos on this kind of thing anyway too. So,
yeah. I've used one called Mental Floss quite a bit.
Ooh.
That one's always really good.
Okay.
Has, like, good random facts about everything. That one's pretty good.
I like random facts.
I like you. So my number one...
Well, wait, before we go to number one...
No. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Just wanted to wait till you calm down. What are some of the cereals you left off your list?
Lucky Charms was one.
Okay. No one's perfect.
Raisin Bran Crunch. I love Raisin Bran
Crunch. See, again, you need to be married to my wife. She loves Raisin Bran Crunch.
Oh, it's so good.
And I don't get it. You know, I just feel like it's for health reasons only.
I think Raisin Bran.
Right.
Raisin Bran is a little bit more healthy than Raisin Bran Crunch.
Well, okay. What about Cinnamon Toast Crunch? That was one that was hard for me to leave off.
Mm-hmm.
Trix. Remember Trix for kids? Tricks are for kids? Yeah. I recently tried them again, and I was like, these are horrible. No, they don't taste good at all.
See, I always put like Trix and Fruit Loops into the same hat.
Well, now you're just getting crazy. So, a friend of mine at work said, and that's why I went and bought Trix. He's like, "Do you like Trix?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." And so he's like, "Oh, they're just different now." And so I went. I'm like, "Okay, I bought them." And he's right. They're only like three colors now. Remember, there used to be like five colors in Trix.
Yeah.
And they used to be like fruit shapes. And they just don't taste the same. So I told him when I came back to work, I'm like, "Hey, they don't taste the same." He's like, "Well, you know why?" And I said, "Why?" He's like, "Well, Trix are for kids." He got me.
I'm having a fun time listening to you talk about your Trix, turning Trix, different color Trix.
You like that?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Just a typical Friday night, Tom turning Trix.
That's right. You remember? Do you remember the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cereal?
No.
This one, I was, you know, you go back, you know, obviously on our other shows, you find out we're huge Ninja Turtle fans. They came out with a cereal, just like any cartoon, you know, they'd come out with a cereal. I begged and begged and begged and begged and begged my parents to buy the cereal. Horrible. Remember Rice Chex?
Yeah.
Which I am not a fan. The cereal was basically Rice Chex with worse tasting marshmallows than the Lucky Charms. Like, they didn't taste like Lucky Charms marshmallows. And they were in the shape of the turtles. That was Ninja Turtles cereal. And I can still taste the horribleness right now. Like, I hated it. It's like, oh, what a disappointment.
Just tasted like failure.
Right. Cookie Crisp was another one I left out. Golden Crisp and Honey Smacks. Remember Honey Smacks?
I liked Cinnamon Life.
I was never a Life cereal one. We never had that one.
I only liked the cinnamon. And there was a cereal called Basic Four that I used to really like.
Basic Four. Don't know that one either.
Yeah.
If you say something about Kashi cereal, I'm hanging up the phone.
Kashi everything tastes like cardboard.
Because it is cardboard. Oh, anyway. I felt like, because I had so many on my list, I felt like I was just doing a disservice to my childhood by, like, knocking these off. Like, I'd eat cereal for every meal, every day, if it was socially acceptable.
I was eating it for breakfast, and then I eat it for a snack before I went to bed.
Nice.
Like, I'm not talking when I was a kid, I'm talking last week.
Right, last week. I remember I sent you a picture of all the cereals I bought, and you said,
yes.
What about, you know, are you running out of milk or something, you said, and I told you to stay out of my business.
Yeah, I asked, because I was running out of milk, and I asked if you were running out of milk, and then you basically just told me to go F myself, which I thought was really polite of you.
I was in a mood. I was in a mood.
Because you were out of milk.
I was out of milk.
I get that way when I run out of milk.
Out of milk. All right, well, let's move on. Let's talk about our number ones. Well, obviously, my number one is Fruity Pebbles, and we talked about it already. So, Jim, the world is waiting on pins and needles.
Pins and needles.
Needles and pins they are sitting on.
You mentioned it.
Okay.
And it is undisputed, my number one, nothing will ever knock it off, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I knew it. I almost didn't mention it because I thought, oh, he's going to mention it.
Dude, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, you can't. It's the best. It is the best. It is sold worldwide. Mm-hmm. Under many different names. In French Canada, it is called the Croque Canel.
That sounds curiously that
cinnamon in the UK. Previously, Cinnamon Grahams.
Mm-hmm.
And it is also different tasting but similar looking, called Cinny Minis in other European countries. It is produced by General Mills and Nestle. First produced in 1984. Cinnamon Toast Crunch aims to provide the taste of cinnamon toast in a crunch cereal format. And boy, do they ever.
They nailed it.
Let's see. The product is currently marketed outside Europe with the mascot of a jolly baker named Chef Wendell.
Interesting.
Do you remember when there were three chefs?
Yes, I do.
Like, when we were kids, it was marketed with three chefs. Only one of them had a name. Chef Wendell was the only one with a name.
I don't remember the names, but I believe you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a whole lot on it. Actually, that's about it. They're based with a rice content, so they snap, crackle, and pop like Rice Krispies do when you put them in milk. And in some European countries like Poland and Russia, in Soviet Russia,
nice.
Toast cinnamons, you. They are sold in bags, not in boxes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, oh, like malt meal.
Yeah. And the milk tastes like horchata. How could you hate a cereal that gives you horchata milk?
You know, I do love this cereal. Because I'm a fan of toast. And I'm a fan of putting cinnamon on my toast. And sure. So this is like just... It tastes exactly what you want it to taste like. And, yeah. So, no, that's a good pick, Jim. That's a good pick.
I it was always a toss-up, Cinnamon Toast Crunch or Golden Grahams, and having bought them in the last couple weeks and retried them, it's hands down Cinnamon Toast Crunch, my favorite cereal.
Nice, nice. Part of your perfectly balanced breakfast.
And lunch and dinner, yes.
Right.
Get off the buoy!
That's Lance, the lifeguard. He sees everything. But can he see why kids love Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
It's got, dandelions?
Dude, there's cinnamon sugar swirls in every bite. The tasty part of this balanced breakfast.
I see that.
Right.
No running.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Taste you can see.
Oh, well, this has been fun, Jim. Let me ask you this.
Send it.
Did you get any toys in your cereal boxes when you were a kid?
Oh, when I was a kid? Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So what was your favorite toy you ever received out of a cereal box?
Oh, God, I don't remember. I don't remember what any of them were. I just remember always going for the prizes in the box.
Right, and destroying the box because you're digging down.
Yeah, my mom would get mad at us and tell us to wait. You got to wait. You got to pour it out in your bowl. You can't go digging your hand through the cereal box. But then you remember after a while they stopped putting them in the cereal and they put them in the bag outside of the box?
Right, right, because I think there's too many kids with muddy hands just digging in cereal.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite toy was...
your favorite toy, Tom?
You know, thanks for asking. It was these things that you throw against the wall. They're called crawlies or something, and they would crawl down the sticky. And as soon as you dropped one on the floor, it was covered in dirt and dust and dog hair or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I love those things, and those would always come in cereal. You whip them against the wall, and then they slowly crawl down the wall. And they came in a bunch of colors.
You get those Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, yeah, you get them, yeah. Oh, I love them.
Right next to the pencil erasers.
Right. Oh, I love pencil erasers. Yeah. Wonder, that's probably not an investment to make now, is it erasers?
Nope.
Great. great. Jim, what else do you have on cereals? Anything?
Nothing.
Are you going to eat more tonight?
No, not tonight. I'll probably eat the rest of the cereal that I have and then not buy another box until I have children.
Well, you're missing out. I say keep going with it. I really do. There's no reason you shouldn't. Hey, speaking of the balance, remember every commercial ended where they would say part of this, your balanced breakfast or whatever? And now we show, like, the box and a bowl of cereal, and then they show, like toast and orange juice and a glass of milk, and it's like, who had all that stuff for breakfast? No one ever had all that.
Right.
And I was, like, mom just threw some milk in the bowl and said, here. Like, she was not making toast, you know.
And everything else in that picture is the balanced breakfast. They just throw the cereal in to be part of it. Without the cereal, it's a balanced breakfast.
Yeah, this
the cereal throws a wrench into that whole system.
Exactly. It's just nothing but sugar bits. So,
I love sugar bits.
Oh, I know.
Also,
right.
My pet for you, hashtag sugar bits.
Oh, nice, nice. Thank you. All right, there, Rice Crinkles. All right. Well, let's just get out of here. This has been horrible. Let's go. Real quick, where can everyone reach us, Jim?
Well, your phone number is.
Yep.
No. Instagram.
Yep.
Facebook, Twitter, email.
That's right. That's where you can find
us. Thank you. I'm glad I
you got it right. Well, next week, Jim, we are going to talk about, we're going to get drunk.
Are we? What are we talking
we're
about?
We're doing beers.
I really don't know.
Are we doing beers next
week?
We're
doing beer next week?
Yeah, we're doing our favorite beers.
Good deal.
All right. So,
what's our criteria on this?
I was going to say to you that let's just have our production meeting on air here. That's nice. I was going to tell you to do our favorite brewery, our favorite brand of beer. Like,
okay, so we're doing breweries.
Yeah. Yeah, because I like...
It has to be a beer that everyone can get. Okay. Like, my favorite brewery is the one down the street from me, but you can't buy that beer.
Well, then my favorite brewery is here in my hometown. And so, okay, I'll agree to that. I'm going to mention my favorite beers that are locally here.
That's
but
right.
I won't put them in my top five. So I agree.
But it has to be... It can be a microbrew, but it has to be, like, decently nationally distributed.
Okay.
So other people besides me in my house can get.
I can live with that. I can live with that. I say we drink these beers during the show next week. What do you think?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. This is going to be one for the books.
So you have to drink it
as you're
through
talking
the course of the number. So when we start at number fives, we both crack them open, and by the time we get to number four, we got to have that gone.
Wow. This could be a rough show.
Let's take off next Tuesday from work.
Good idea. Good idea.
Okay. I can't wait till we do bourbons. That's going to be a really good show.
Oh, well, I won't make it past like three sips in, but that's cool. All right, Jim. Well, hey, thanks for talking to me.
Anytime, buddy.
All right. Well, I'm going to call you back in 5 minutes.
Don't do that.
Oh, I love you.
I love you more. Talk to you later.
Bye.